I want to read from Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, 12 to 17. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Let's pray. Our long-suffering, patient God, we have heard this morning something of thy character and the character of those who are members of thy kingdom by grace. And we pray that as we consider in a more detailed way something of who thou art and what we are called to be when we are in Christ, this fruit of long suffering, that it may be present in our lives. We pray, Lord, give us understanding. Give us now, as we turn to thy word, to be taught and instructed, but not only have a mental assent and knowledge of these things, but it may be evident, we pray, in our life, in the lives of our family. And we pray that thou would work with thy Holy Spirit these very fruits, that the world may know and see that we belong to thee and are servants of the Most High God. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Some time ago, I was reading about a school teacher and the example of patience or long-suffering. And it was up in the northern part of Canada. You can imagine this kindergarten teacher. She's helping 25 or 30 students and buckling up their boots and tying their boots and putting on their coats. Here she is in the middle of doing this one child's boots. She's nearly got the last boot done. And the little girl says, "You know, teacher, these aren't my boots." And so she quietly goes about her task of untying the boots, and she's got nearly the second one done. And she says, "Teacher, they're my sister's, and she let me use them today." Now that requires patience to deal with individuals, perhaps, that come against us in the moment of our own needs and our own thoughts. And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about this afternoon, this exhibition, this showing of the fruit of the Spirit, which is patience or long-suffering. So if you have your outline, I want to first want to discuss a few moments what long-suffering in the Scripture looks like. And there's three words that are often translated connected to this idea of long suffering or suffering long. Of course, just the word itself gives us that impression. So there's three words that we use in translating this idea. And the first has to do with the word of forbearing. I'm not going to go all the Greek, but it means simply to hold up under difficult circumstances. Forbearing. We read that word also in verse 13 of Colossians 2. Forbearing one another with all lowliness and meekness of mind. It's self-restraint, like this teacher. She could have burst forth in a burst of anger. She could have been upset. She could have put the girl in the last of line of all the others, but she forbore. That's what we are called to do. The second word is translated often patient. And it has to do with the word enduring. So in other words, we're patient when the circumstances call us to press forward, enduring what may be the circumstance or the situation at the moment. I read you two verses that have this word in it. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. So when you think of tribulation coming upon us, if we are in Christ, it came upon Christ, and so there is this patient enduring under the circumstance, not retaliating, not responding in a like way. Also James 1, verses 3, 4, and 12. There James says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In other words, this is a part of the very being of God, and we're called to reflect it. Blessed is that man, James says, that endureth temptation. When he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. And the last word we have connected to this idea of patience and long-suffering is the word we find in Galatians 5. We're considering the fruits of the Spirit there. The fourth fruit this morning, we've looked at love and joy and peace. That often relates to our relationship to God in many respects, but is found in our relations with others. The next three fruit of the Spirit have relation more to do with those around us, and the last three have to do with also ourselves. But this fruit this morning is translated long-suffering. What's the idea here? The idea is long in coming to the point of anger, of even wrath. So when we say someone has a short fuse, they quickly become angry about something that's happened or someone who's done something against them. The idea here is it's long in coming, long in rising to the surface and dealing with even the circumstance at hand. I'll give you a few short definitions that people have made, and I've put some things together to come up with these short definitions, but I think it summarizes what we're going to look at this morning with God's help. So, long-suffering means we are committed to persevere with different people in difficult, or you could put even difficult people, in difficult circumstances. To minister to the people we heard about this morning that Jesus calls us to minister, we often think of as being perhaps a measure more difficult. But then I think we don't realize how difficult it can be to deal with our own, who we think are on our same level. We can enter into difficulties and trying circumstances at work, in our families. But we're called to be long-suffering and patient when by nature we'd be unsettled, we'd be disturbed about the circumstance, about the person. It also means, as we've considered already, to suffer long. So instead of the natural tendency to immediately retaliate, immediately put up our defenses, immediately sending out barbs in return, in response, the word long-suffering has the idea of we suffer long. We take disappointment graciously. So if someone disappoints us, we take that graciously. If your son or daughter isn't always doing what they should do, and it is a matter of disobedience, we understand that, but there is sometimes a fine line between displaying gracious long-suffering and dealing and discipline with our children. And the same is true with people that work for us, maybe, and in various circumstances. But the spirit, the tenor of our life, should be a display of gracious patience, long-suffering. Another way of describing this word is it's an inner calm. We use the word patient connected to enduring. So it's the idea of enduring a long trek, remaining steadfast through it with patience. Now that can only be done if we recognize our own relationship to God and believe and live that God is in control of all the circumstances of our life. So that's point one. That's long suffering. Now, what are some reasons, secondly, why we find this fruit, this character, to be difficult to practice? Well, one reason, I think, is because it's simply contrary to our sinful human nature. I don't think that there are too many young people and children born with this natural tendency for patience. I don't know how many of you who have children would have a 2 or 3 year old who's either very hungry when they go to bed, or they've wet themselves, or they had a bad dream that they lay in their bed for a while and think, you know, mom and dad really need their sleep. I'm going to be a little patient here and wait till morning. It's just not there. It's not part of our natural disposition. Patience and long-suffering are difficult because it goes against the grain of our natural tendency, our sinful selves. And it ties into the second reason it's difficult is because often to practice, to live with this spirit of being long-suffering and patient with others means I've got to deny myself. The practice of this fruit of the Spirit is really one that focuses in upon our selfishness. And often our responses in situations that come upon us, our responses in dealing with people in our lives, are a reflection of whether or not we suffer long or are easily provoked. And if we can't suffer long, what we're saying in essence is, you have invaded my territory. You have stepped on my toes, and so I'm pushing back. That's the response that is not being long-suffering. We think our issues, our circumstances, our needs are more important than others. A third reason we can have problems in this area with this fruit is, in the big scope of things, we often like to be in control. And so if the circumstances of our life aren't moving along a certain path that we think will lead to peace or inner calm or happiness, we at times even take things in our own hands so we can direct them into that path. And it's really then a confession by our outward actions to these circumstances, we don't believe God is ultimately in control. Serious example of this would be, of course, the car's pulling out in front of you. You don't just say, well, this is God's circumstances. So you plow into them. No, you have tried to avoid the circumstance under all costs. That's understandable. But what we're talking about here is when we say that this fruit is to be shown, and we've done what we can to overcome, what's our response to things that come upon us over which we don't have control? We do meet with the accident. We do have this person yelling at us at work. We do have a brother or sister who's really irritating. How do we display this fruit of long-suffering? Do we believe that God ultimately, as we confess, is in control? You see, our world is even more, every day it seems, focused upon instantaneous results and satisfaction. So you put the food in the microwave, you push a couple buttons, and your food is ready. And that's the kind of world we live in, and we very quickly move into that way of thinking, and we don't pause. We don't take time to meditate, to consider what God's hand is in our lives. That the things we encounter, He also has permitted to be brought upon us for our good. That we can display and show forth also this fruit of patient long-suffering. So those are some of the things, I think, that indicate for us why it's difficult to practice, to show forth this fruit of long-suffering and patience. Well, how does one express impatience, the opposite of this fruit? The challenge, of course, as we've been indicating, is our responses to people who, in our estimation, are treating us unfairly, or even the circumstances of our life that are coming upon us, we deem them as being unfair. And so our response to them, our kickback reaction to them, is impatient. We want to change these things. We want to remove these difficulties. We kick back against that which is coming in upon us. Without patience, it's very difficult to show love, to display and give forgiveness. Just think, how could you really be patient in a situation where you're not ready and willing to forgive the other person who you deem is sinning against you? How can you really be long-suffering with someone at work or in your homes where it seems like your love for them, your tendency to receive them, whoever they are, has waxed cold and is waning away? We express impatience to really all of the commandments, ultimately. We think of the first commandment when we have God saying to us, you will have no other gods before me. Our impatience with God is evident when we take on idols. We find other things that give us satisfaction in life. We live for them rather than God. Because we're impatient with God. Why isn't He in this situation? Why isn't He coming to deliver? Why isn't He answering my prayer? And we're impatient. And so we begin to set up other things that we find our comforts in, our solutions. And we could go down the whole list of the Ten Commandments. Take the Sixth Commandment as another example. How do we express impatience? Anytime we're showing anger, anytime we're displaying our irritation with someone else, it's often because we're impatient with the other person. We're too impatient to let God take care of a situation. The tenth commandment we're going to consider this evening, no coveting. We display our impatience when in our hearts we begin to think of things that we wished we would have, and we're not acknowledging God's providence. and keeping them from us? And so our hearts are hankering and yearning for things of this world, and we display impatience until we get them. So these are ways in which we can express, and there are many others too, in which we express impatience. We don't display this fruit. Let's move on to point four. How can we develop this patience? Well, first of all, this fruit, as well as the others, isn't simply something that God just sort of clothes us with and it's just there and we just kind of do it. It's like with all the fruits of the Spirit, they are to be practiced. They are to be engaged conscientiously. It takes effort. It takes prayer. It takes work. And so the first thing I would say that in order to practice, develop this fruit of long-suffering, we should be in prayer. Prayer about specific instances where our patience, our long-suffering, is being tested. The other day I was talking to someone, talking about how often they pray. A few times, they said, you know, meals. And I said, our life ought to be prayer. It's an admonishment to myself as I was even speaking to him. But as circumstances arise in our life, as we encounter people and those kind of interactions, maybe testing from inside, you sense this lack of patience. Why didn't he have that report done when I said he was to have it on my desk? Why aren't my children listening when I have asked them to do this very thing? We need prayer. But sometimes our prayer for patience may be answered in a very different way than we expect. It's like praying for Christ-likeness, for godliness. What do you think the result of that prayer is going to be? Well, there was once a young Christian who went to an older believer and asked him for prayer. He said, "Please pray for me that I can become more patient." The older saint agreed, and they bowed their knees and their heads in prayer, and the older Christian began praying, "Lord, send this young man tribulation in the morning. Send this young man tribulation in the afternoon. Send this young man..." And the young man stopped him. "I didn't ask for this." And the old man said, "Well, you asked patience. It's through patience, tribulation, you will learn patience." James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience." The trying of your faith, friends, will bring out whether you are impatient, short-suffering, or whether you have learned the grace of this Spirit in patience and long-suffering. So we pray for this gift of the Holy Spirit. And secondly, we abide in Christ. We need to reflect upon, that's why we're going to end with this in a few moments, we reflect upon Christ's patience, God's patience, and we ask that this same long-suffering character fill us. We then depend upon the abiding of Jesus Christ in us. So how do we develop the gift of patience? By fleeing to Christ, pleading with Christ, living out of Christ. "I am the vine, you are the branches. If any man abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, ye cannot do anything." Third, endure. Just as we heard this morning of striving, the idea of living a life displaying long-suffering requires endurance. How long are you going to hold out in this troubling, difficult circumstance? Will you endure or will you blow your fuse, react in anger, endure. The author to the Hebrews says, endure by doing what? Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Another practical thing we can do, I think, is simply slow down. My wife's probably thinking in this moment, practice what you preach. Slow down. Take time. Reflect. Meditate. Consider. It's kind of ironic. One of the big fast food restaurants is, you deserve a break today. In other words, come by us and just sit down and relax in your noon hour. No. It's hurry up, get your meal, go out the door, and continue on your way. This is the society we live in. And if we get caught up in the hustle and bustle and rat race of this world, we hardly have time to consider, what is this circumstance happening to me? Why is this particular thing coming across my plate? How am I going to respond, not simply react to the things that are taking place in my life? So these are some things which can help us develop patience. Another is seek to love. Love others around us. It's very hard, if you love someone in truth, to not be patient, long-suffering. Let's reflect a moment on God's patience. Now, God isn't calling His people and us to be patient, long-suffering, when He Himself isn't. Same with love God above all, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus displayed this perfectly. God displays perfectly this characteristic of long-sufferingness. Rightly should God be reacting to our sin according to His holy nature, it would demand immediate and full retaliation and wrath. But the Scripture talks about our God is long-suffering to usward. He didn't destroy the early world with the flood right away. He let Noah build this ark and preach the gospel for years. And the same is true today. God's preparing this world to be destroyed with fire. It's going to be consumed and burn up in a ball of flames. But in the process, He's patient. Look at our own nation, we heard on this past week in prayer service. God is long-suffering to us. Paul says in Romans 9, what if God, willing to show His wrath, make His power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction? Charnock, who wrote about the characteristics of God, made these comments. He said, quoting, "These things have you done, and I kept silence. This signifies to behave oneself as a deaf and dumb man. God is saying, I did not fly in your face as some do with a great voice or for a light provocation, as if their life and honor and estates were at stake. I did not presently call you to bar and pronounce judicial sentence upon you according to the law, but I demean myself as if I was ignorant of your crimes and had been invested, though you were, with power. In the Chaldee, he says, I waited for your conversion. God's patience is the silence of His justice and the first whisper of His mercy. That's the kind of spirit we should have toward others. And you think of how contrary that is to the workplace, how contrary that is to the families of the world today. And if we could more, by God's grace, display this fruit, people would be asking the question, why are you so different? And our response would be, is because I know God. I serve Christ. Paul said in Timothy, 1 Timothy 1, 15 and 16, a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. If we recognize what we deserved still after grace, and we see the long suffering of God, we can say to others, God didn't deal with me as I deserved. He's being gracious to you, even as I speak to you, to call him to himself. Another verse, likewise, 2 Peter 3:15. Haven't you accounted that the long suffering of our God is patience? When you consider God's patience, it's a call for us to display it. But last of all, and briefly, Christ's patience. I marvel. You have our Lord ministering for 3 years with his disciples. And he's eating with them in the upper room, and they're arguing, of all things, about who's going to be the greatest. While he goes over to the table, picks up the basin and a towel, takes his garments off and kneels down by his disciples. How long have we been that patient with our children, with our spouse, with our co-workers, that in the light of irritation, in the light of things that would seemingly simply be directed against us, we minister and serve with long suffering? Our Lord is the example. And it will be for the believer as it was for Christ. But when we suffer long, Lot vexed his righteous soul in that time in Sodom. It will seem as if we vex our souls in this time by displaying this fruit, but we are called to it, knowing that there is a reward coming in the face of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we come to thee knowing, confessing, that we often do not display and show forth this fruit as we are called, so forgive. Help us, Lord, as we reflect upon this fruit, to also consider very particular circumstances that we are confronted in our lives with a response to circumstances or people, that thou would give us to pray, give us to display, and give us to rely upon thy grace. And help us, Lord, as individuals and as a church, to so display these fruit that glory would be brought to thy name and others would be drawn to thee. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.